I would thank you all for coming, but we all know the truth. If you're here, it's because the Holy Spirit wants you here. So that's how that works. Like Debbie said, I've been doing Point of Hope now for almost 7 years. This is the first conference workshop that I've been to that I've finally felt that the Holy Spirit, that I have finally allowed the Holy Spirit to kind of take over. It's been a long journey for me, and there's some kinks that needed to be worked out, but this workshop, it's about that time. So he's teaching me how to move in his anointing and his strength. When I say move, I just mean get out of his way and let him do what he's going to do. So that's what we're going to do today. It's not a secret. When the Holy Spirit presents us to a group of people to speak on behalf of how Jesus has done for us, he's the one that can only fully give an example, an account for the inner workings of Jesus in our lives. My explanation of Jesus is flawed because I don't know it all, but the Holy Spirit does. He even knows what he does in my life that makes it presentable for others to want to know Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay. So today I'm just going to get out of his way. I've never outwardly said that before. I've never outwardly said, hey, Holy Spirit's going to kick on now. I'm going to take a seat. But today, I'm going to do that. So I'm going to sit down and let the Holy Spirit say and do that which he does. I'm going to start off this workshop with a scripture. It's from Luke 21, verse 7 through 19. Jesus is talking to his disciples. They're discussing the signs of the end of the age. Teacher, they asked him, so when will these things be? And what will be the sign that these things are about to take place? Then he said, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is near. Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and rebellions, don't be alarmed. Indeed, these things must take place first, but the end won't come right away. Then he told them, nations will be raised up against nations and kingdoms up against kingdoms. There will be violent earthquakes and famines and plagues in various places, and there will be terrifying sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to an opportunity for you to witness. Therefore, make up your minds not to prepare your defense ahead of time, for I will give you such words and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. I'm going to read that part again. Remember, you look around the world today. I look around the world today. And sometimes it's a little scary. But I remember what the Bible says. These things have to occur. So what reassurances do we have in the strength in our faith that he's going to be with us? Maybe we're not as educated as the next guy. Maybe we're not as well paid as this guy over here. So how can I go before scholars or judges or my bosses and give an account to my faith and have them listen to what's in me? Well, it says right here, you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. Why? Not because of you. Not because of me. Because of Jesus that we stand for. So when it does happen and you get called out, oh, you're a Christian, you better be happy. Because they looked at you and you got pushed aside. They saw the Holy Spirit. They saw Jesus' peace in you. And they are scared. It will lead to an opportunity for you to witness. What will you say? What witness do you have to an individual who's looking at you in disgust? Who's calling you a hater or a bigot because you stand for Jesus and their life is not standing for what God says it should. And you called them out on it. Matter of fact, you didn't call them out. They saw your life and they got scared. What do you say?
Well, the Bible says, therefore, make up your minds not to prepare a defense ahead of time.
What? We're not supposed to answer? The Bible says not to. Don't worry about what you're going to say, because they're going to have to worry about what I'm going to say. Because the Bible's truth can't be beat.
For I will give you such words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict.
God has me reading through the Gospels right now. One of my favorite things that Jesus does quite often is when he's posed a question. And they have contemplated in their minds how they're going to get him. Because remember, they know the word as well. They come after Jesus and they got their quips ready and they look at him and, Jesus, what about this? I'm not going to give you a specific example because that's not the point. But he looks back at them in their face and says, let me ask you a question. You answer me and I'll answer you. They never have a response. Is that not what the word just said? Jesus is the word. So if he is the word and he's promised to give us the word, then the word is in us, and the same response that Jesus outwardly said, you can make without saying a thing. Now, I'm going to tell a story because I find examples are best received when they can be relatable, right? At least for me, because I'm simple, so that's how that works. The story is about a man. Okay, let's be honest. The story's about Ben, about me, okay? Something that I went through, no sugarcoating, first time, like I said, this is about me. God had brought me to a place in my life when I felt in my own strength I was capable of using his word to help people, let's say it like that. But with every young man that comes up in Christ, we are under God, and sometimes God puts us under other people. Right? Well, there comes a time and a place where you might find that the individuals you are under, you don't agree with. Doesn't mean they're wrong, you just don't agree with them. Okay? You see things a little bit different. Maybe because, you know, we're out in the world and they don't get it. You know, they don't understand how the world works. You know, they're all stuck in their old ways. They have no idea how this works. Well, I was that guy. Okay? I knew better. You know, I go to work every day, you know, I got kids, you know. I watch the tube, you know, I'm good. They don't know. God said, okay, me and you, let's have a little show out. But what did he use to do this? Those who I felt I despised. So this is how this works. I'm going to tell my story. Take a jacket, latch it, and buckle the brackets. Take a son that's undone, carrying guns for fun. In a padded room without a broom, convicted and doomed. The asylum inside him, psycho with a boom. He's been labeled a fable, masked and not true, but alone on his own, fighting for clues. Well prepared, but he's scared, because one is not two. In the air, no one's there. Wrongfully accused. Their stares aren't fair, but the jailer needs cotton for his shoes. The symmetry, the entity of mimicry. Lethargy, canvassing effortlessly. Broken bones, shattered homes, no place for me. I wanted escape, but fate requires a clean plate in front of me. What's become of me? Shunned as a prodigy, spiritual oddity. The truth is I'm pottery. Being shaped has wobbled me, on one leg and a wobbling knee. God's grace is stalking me. Never alone, he's watching me. For I was born a mystery, patiently waiting as he writes my history. I wonder why he invented me. My anger is insanity. Lacking breath mints the inhumanity. Holy Spirit, do you have a hand for me? Because without you, my choice is vanity. My choice is vanity. My choice is what? Hold up. I'm that Christian who knows everything. But when God puts me out in front of him, and my heart comes to the table, my choice is vanity? I got some searching to do. So now it's my turn to ask for help. So I go to the Holy Spirit, plead my case. How does he respond?
I tell him I'm alone. He says, if you face it, I'll taste it. Then there's two. I say, I can't make it or shake it. Holy Spirit, it's going to take you to do. I told a lie. I couldn't bear the look in my mother's eye. Suicide, time to die. From this pain, there's nowhere to hide. I'm broken inside, shattered, being torn alive. This blood I'm bleeding, I can't hide. There's no disguise. The agony is too agonizing to describe. And all I see is smiles in their eyes. They glow with pride. I failed and tried. The loss victimizes me staying alive. My only selection, take it in stride. Not full grown, but three of my own, the reason I survive. There's a vehicle there, but the Holy Spirit's got to drive. I want to be buried alive. Truth is, death wouldn't free me from my pride. My family victimized with heavy heartbeat. My heart beats inside. Dig me up. Although Lazarus was resurrected, he still died. Jesus, please, I'm alone. I'm crawling to survive. My home is unknown. On my steps, I cannot contrive. Murder me. My miracle from the other side. I'm in the dark. I'm lost. My tears no longer cry. If you hear me, please, my plea, don't deny. I admit, I'm terrified, but I'm not a spy. I'm not a spy. Admit, I'm terrified, but I'm not a spy. Hold up. You said you chose vanity. Now you're saying you admit that there's something inside of you needs to be dealt with? Yeah. I need help. And it reminds me, if you face it, I'll taste it. Then there's two. But I can't make it or shake it. Holy Spirit, this is going to take you to do. If you face it, I'll taste it. Then there's two. I can't make it or shake it. Holy Spirit, it's going to take you to do. You to do. I walked in the courtroom with the verdict already derived. The judge sitting too high to be seen by the naked eye. He smelled a fragrant too lovely to describe. In his voice, supremacy. Victorious, the name of the sword on his side. He motioned to the tribunal, their voices unable to ascribe. And then it was final, my judgment, he pointed to my pride. As he stood, I looked to my side, sitting there with the comforter with a calm in his eyes. He seemed to stare and glare at my pride, as if their battle was concluding and my pride was being sentenced to die. With a strength the creation can't deny, he sighed. And in that moment I knew, with the comforter, a.k.a. the Holy Spirit, I would ride. The judge spoke, my pride convicted to die. One last glance as the pain began to subside. It's over, young soldier, now it's you and I. Don't be scared, you're prepared, and together we ride. Never alone nor on your own, for I'm with you inside. No more danger, no longer a stranger. Now you learn from me. So when you're choking or find trouble coping, remember the Trinity. The Trinity's alive and created you. You're our creation, our bride. So now, I knew the playing field. It wasn't about those ahead of me, those in front of me. It was about me. So I went to work. I always have a lot of free time at work. My kids make fun of me because they say, you don't do nothing. I do stuff. I go to work, and I'm praying. I finally surrendered myself to the Holy Spirit, to God, not from my perspective of what God should be or do, from what his perspective, do whatever he needs to do, because he taught me there's a difference. I'm sitting there in my chair. God, not the Holy Spirit, starts speaking. God talks. There's a fear that comes in the room with him. It's a matter of factness. He's not so gentle. He knows the plans he has for you. And nothing will stop them, not even you. So finally, he speaks to me, because why waste time if I'm not ready to listen? Now I'm ready to listen. This is what he said. you repented for not having what you did not ask for. Meaning, the journey in my life up to that point, I'd been through some stuff. I'd gotten dirty. I've been through things I didn't think a man should have to go through. But the purposes of God are bigger than the feelings of me. He explained very clearly. There are things in my life I described to God perfectly and asked him for this description of something, and he gave it to me. What I didn't ask for is what's on the other side of the beautiful cover of the book. I asked for a worldly description of what I thought I needed, but I didn't bother to open the page and read the context, the contents, and I blamed God for it. How dare I? So finally, he says, you woke up. You repented for not having what you did not ask me for. You stopped blaming me for what I did not give. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. How is he going to give me something I never asked him for? Well, the evidence was there. The Bible was there. My parents were there. My church was there. But I missed it. I was moving so fast in what I thought was right. I missed God's purpose, and that's on me. You stopped blaming me for what you did not, you stopped blaming me for what I did not give, for I did not ask, so he did not give. You started receiving what heaven brought. I stopped complaining about what I was going through and started thanking him for what he started to do with it. Oh, it hurts. Yeah, but this pain isn't for you. You're strong enough to handle this. Get back up. You stand until I say otherwise. Because they need to see a light. Because they can't stand. But if they can see you stand and see me holding you up, they have hope. And now they have a reason to get up. Now they have a reason to move on. And that demon they're fighting that's bigger than them, they're going to let me win because they saw what I did with you. Now get up. You started receiving what heaven brought, so you could see what's not there. God doesn't always tell you what he's doing over here. He just tells you what you need to do right here, right? But if you're quiet enough, if you let the Holy Spirit humble you enough, every once in a while, God looks down and checks in, and he says, I like it. He doesn't know why he's struggling, but he's not complaining anymore. He knows he's in pain, but he's praying instead. He knows what he doesn't have, but he's thanking for me for what he does. Let me give him a glimpse of what I'm doing. So I got to see. So you could see what's not there. What is the description of faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. That's what the Bible says. So you could see what's not there. How blessed man am I to see what nobody else can see? What I can't even see. I didn't see it. He showed it to me, and there's a difference. When he shows it, you understand. You gain strength. You gain momentum. You become fearless. And now, so you could see what's not there and know what can't be found. And know what can't be found. What is that? What does that look like? Something you're searching for and you can't find it. You don't even know why you know that's a thing, but all you know is you need it. So how do you find something like that? You don't. He gives you a hand and says, check this out. Hey, real quick, don't tell nobody. Look at this. Yeah, it's coming, yeah. And understand what can't be sought. And understand what can't be sought. There's so many, in the Gospels, in the four Gospels, there's so many times that Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he relays a message to them, and they do not understand it. But out of fear, they don't say nothing. And then they will say, and it was kept from them. But later on, it says, and now it was revealed to them. Why does he do that? Why does he have a truth in the Bible which he instructs us to read? Right? Read the Bible. Know my word so it can be written on your hearts. And we do. And we read a passage and we don't understand it. Sometimes it's not your lack. It's he hasn't given you the insight yet. And there's always a reason for it. Right? Right?
Right.
I'm looking right at you. Man, okay. I'll get back to you. I gotta finish it so it makes more sense. Therein lies your miracle. Miracle isn't what God presents and gives because you begin to trust in him more than your circumstances and what you can or cannot see, right? So I'm gonna read this whole thing real quick so it all makes sense and blends together. So this was God's complete response in a whole. You repented for not having what you did not ask for. You stopped blaming me for what I did not give. You started receiving what heaven brought so you could see what's not there and know what can't be found and understand what can't be sought. Therein lies your miracle. Sometimes to overcome, you have to lose. Sometimes to overcome, you have to lose. Now, why does it say have to lose? Because it becomes a choice. I can stand up here and swing all day. There could be 10 men come. I can refuse to fall and just keep swinging, right? But if I'm being strong, I'm not going to get to use the angels standing right behind me ready to go to battle for me. I'm not going to get to use those because I want to do it, right? Sometimes you have to choose to lose, right? But lose to the right opponent. That doesn't mean you know an individual is living completely not right. Not only are they not living right, they don't want to live right. And they want to take something God gave you. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay? The one individual that you should want to lose to first, and only in my perspective, is God himself. He will bring the people in your life that he's empowered to get you where you need to be. But you humble yourself first to God, he'll take care of the rest, right? The Bible says, I actually have it written down. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will elevate you in the proper time. That's the losing I'm talking about. Humble yourself. I'm going to tell you another story, and this one ain't going to rhyme. So, like I said, I've been through some battles. I finally learned to stop fighting and kicking and let God do his thing. And God has shown me that he is stronger than strong. Not only that he promises to, and that he will, he has. Okay? Me and God are in such speaking terms now. I don't have any more qualms. Like, there's nothing in my life that I'm like, well, God, can you do this? No, he's done it all. Okay? So this whole conference so far, this, you know, this couple days, everybody that gets up has been sharing to you about to humble yourself before God. Persevere. Hang in there, okay? You keep the faith and you keep trucking. When are we going to hear a message about what happens after we do that? Because you can only hear so many messages on, hang on, you hang in there, buddy. It's going to get better. When does it get better? Like, what does that look like? Well, like I said, God let me see something. So I'm going to share it. This is how the story goes. Me and my wife been through some extraordinary events that God used to bring us closer to him first and combine us in a way together that I can't even really explain. Okay? So, in my wife's family, she's Filipino. They are a very strong family-oriented group. Like, you can't get paper in between them. Okay? When we go home to visit, it's everybody. So imagine this room, this whole thing full of Filipinos. Boom! All got food, all cooking, all speaking Tagalog, and you're just, it's time for me to go. I'll be out here. No, Ben, don't leave. Okay, I don't know what you're saying, but I'm going to stay. I'm eating. That's how it is, right? So in Bona's family, I like to call it a monarchy. I tie it to the mob, okay, honestly. That's what it feels like to me. I'm just saying. So in Bona's family, it's Enung, which Bona tells me after we've been married 15 years. I've been calling Bona's grandma Enung for as long as I've known Bona. We've been together for 16 and a half years, about 16 years. She tells me finally the other day, Enung means grandma. I literally thought that was her name. It is not her name. So Enung, grandma, is going to have a birthday party in the Philippines. Okay. That's expensive. Okay. I don't have Filipino money for five people. I don't have it. Okay. So Bona's like, hey, we need to go. Enung's getting up there. We need to go. She wants us there. And she specifically said, you have to come. That means I have to go. Okay. Enung is not the person you say no to. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I will do that. Yeah. She's very respectful. She loves the Lord with all of her heart. But you just don't say no. Okay. So Bona keeps bringing it up. I'm like, I'll think about it. Bringing it up, I'll think about it. Bringing it up, I'll think about it. Then she finally calls me to work. Enung said, you have to come. I was like, oh, goodness. Okay, we'll go. I don't like to get excited about things because usually when I do that, I find when I get excited about something, the thing comes and it doesn't happen. And then I'm like excited, oh, I don't like doing that. So I don't like to get too thrilled about anything, right? So we put the trip together. Her mom gets us tickets to go to California for 3 days. She wants to buy tickets for my kids to go to Disneyland and Universal Studios, which I can't afford, right? But I'm like, if your mom wants to do it, hey, okay. So Bona sets up tickets to the Philippines, tickets to California. My daughter, we live in a small town, Delta Junction. You can't shop there. You just can't, okay? My daughter's 14, and she's really savvy and dresses nice and all this stuff, and we have to get most of her clothes. She's tall on Amazon because there's nothing to shop there, okay? So I'm like, listen, we're going to California. Let's just put some money aside for Jersey so she can have some money to spend and buy her clothes for this year and next year because we ain't going back, okay? So that's what we do. We save some money. Bona prays about it. God gives her a beautiful budget. She starts budging her little butt off so much so I'm like, hey, I want a Coke. Hold on. No, hold up, bro. Hey, babe, can I get a Coke? Next week. Okay, cool. No, I don't want a Coke, bro. I was just playing. I'm good. I ain't even thirsty. I'm fine. Ah. So we finally, the trip comes on. We get to California. Goes off without a hitch. We go to Universal Studios first, have a great time. Go to Disneyland, a great time, because I wasn't paying for it, so it was wonderful. And then take my daughter shopping briefly, and she gets a couple things. It was really hard to find a place to shop because, like I said, I ain't got deep pockets, and California is really expensive, and we weren't finding the right places. We'd walk into a store, bless my daughter's heart, and I'm like, this is your cap. You spend this money, it's gone. That's all you get. So if you take this money, you only get like two pair of pants and a pair of shoes. That's on you. That's what you're wearing for 2 years. So we walk into a mall. Jersey's like, cool. Nope, let's go. I'm like, what? Look, oh, okay. Going to another mall. Can't shop here either. Dad, let's go. Okay. You're really thrifty. Okay. Went to like four or five different places, so she found the one. So anyway, time comes. Time for us to go to the Philippines. Get the family together. So right now we're traveling with myself, my wife, and our kids. Bona's mother, her sister, her son, her aunt, what's her name? Sandria, her daughter, thank you. Miles, her brother, who's hilarious. And is that it for the Philippines? Okay, so that was the Philippine group. And we still had Enung there, Bona's sister's husband, and their son, AJ, and Tita Nancy with her daughter, two daughters? One son. One son? All right, see, I don't know all of them. They had children. So, long story short, we get to the airport. It's here. We made it. Let's go to the Philippines. Now, real quick, I'm going to back up. Before we get there, before we ever left for the trip, two individuals came to my house, like they owned the place, had a word from the Lord for me and prayed for me about the trip. So, they blessed me, as God instructed them to do,
And they left. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to the Philippines. I got to fight. This is going to be a battle. Okay. Fast forward back to the airport. We get to the airport. Everybody's getting the tickets, go up to the counter in China Air. Okay, have a great trip. Have a great trip. Our turn. Phone is up there, dude. Who's Ben Glass? Who's that? Huh? That's me. Yeah, he can't go. What? Huh? His ticket's here. It's open. But between the booking agency you used and us, there's a problem. I'm like, God's got this, right? Hey, God's got this. I'm a man of the Lord, right? So I'm standing there, and the lady's like, sorry, no. No, they kept trying no. So finally, Bona calls the booking agency, like, this is the issue we're having. Can you please fix it? We got about 30 minutes to catch the plane. I'm still being a little religious. Jesus has this Lord in heaven, yes. Long story short, the individual who booked our ticket, me and my son have the same name. What he was doing correctly is putting my son, Ben Glass, which is me, his social security number, right, under my ticket. So every time they book it, they book him twice. And after like the third time of on a call and explaining what's going on, managers came over there from China. They tried everything they could, and it just wasn't working. We told Bono and his family to go on. Hey, if we get it, we'll be there. If we don't, we won't. Now, I ain't going to lie. I'm trying to be all calm and chill and strong, but I'm getting nervous too. Like, oh, no. This ain't going to happen, Jesus. What's going on? I prayed. Did I not do everything right? Like, what's happening here? I finally look at Bono. She looks at me. She's still trying. I'm like, babe, this ain't going to happen. Like, we ain't going. She's like, I know. I know. We're probably going to work. Plane left. So this is the scene. We're in Los Angeles, California. We'd given her mom money. We'd saved for a while, $1,000, which is a lot of money for us to save for years. Okay, this didn't happen in a couple months. This was some years of saving. We gave it to her mom to exchange to Filipino currency. She gone. That money's gone with her, right? So we can't go anywhere. We're in the airport. We got no hotel. We got nowhere to stay. We have no plans. And I got 2 weeks off of work. So I'm looking at Bona. She's looking at me. My kids are there. So Bona's still talking to the dude. I'm trying to be chill. It's going to be fine. It's going to be, we can't go? We can't go? All right, cool. Give me the phone. Sir? Look here, sir. You messed up. No, shut up. You messed up. Because if your explanation you're giving me right now, sir, was correct, I would have my behind on a plane going to the Philippines. Guess where I'm at? Just guess. No, together, let's guess. I'm in L.A. at the airport. Stop talking. Give me my money back. I might not have said it that nicely. He kept trying to explain, so I, you know, as a good Christian man said, I will find you. But I was like, give me the phone. That's not helping anybody. All right. Now, my kids are there. You know, my 14-year-old daughter's, like, staring at me. And my son's like, yeah, are we cool? Yeah, we're fine. So by this time, we're done. We're stuck. So we go. Bone's like, well, let's go sit down and eat something and try to figure this out. Cool. We go to a little restaurant. They had to sit down. And I'm still just disbelief because I got a little excited. What are we going to do? I don't know. My oldest daughter, she's 14. She's really level-headed. Like, anytime she sees me get a little bit upset or turn up a little bit, she's like, Dad, stop. No. This is what needs to happen. She calms everything down. And because she's my daughter, I can't yell at her. So I listen to her quite often. Long story short, we get there, we eat. We decide to go back to the hotel because her grandma is still there with her sister's husband and one of her aunts. They weren't going to come. They were going to go back to Canada the next day. We go back there, go back to the hotel room, and he's like, oh, what happened? We're sorry, blah, blah, blah. But this time, I don't want to hear sorry. I don't hear, oh, it's too bad. I don't hear none of that. My money's gone. All the money we saved, it's gone, right? We're just stuck here. So Bona gets on her little magical device phone thing and just starts, all right, we got a room here tonight, but we got to figure this out. Cool. We get a room, go in there, put our bags in there. And she's like, hey, we actually came here for Yunnan. That's why we're here. Let me go spend some time with her before she goes back to Canada. I'm like, cool. I'm going to stay here. I need to think. Okay. So they take off. I wait for them to leave like a good Christian man. I'm like, God, what's up? No, what's going on? What did I do? Right? Nothing. Did I misquote something? Did I not, yesterday, last week, at work, did I not say something to somebody? Did I not preach the word of God to somebody? What happened? Nothing. So finally, I'm like, okay, calm down. What's the Bible really say about situations? God says, I know the plans I have for you. Okay? So I'm like, okay, God, this was going to happen. I'm telling God it's going to happen. That's stupid. Yeah. So obviously nothing came of that. I finally said, God, listen, your word is true, and you know my situation. You know what took us to get here. You know how much we saved, and you're up. I had plans, and the Bible says a man in his heart decides the path, but God chooses steps, right? So I'm like, God, I start quoting the many scriptures I can think of. Back to God, pop, 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 pop. Feeling a little better. I'm like, okay, God, I'm sitting on the couch. I'm like, you're up. We ain't going back to Alaska. We're here in L.A. We got no plans. We got nothing to do. It's on you. You need to wow me because I was going to go to the Philippines. You're up. Bona comes back, gets on her phone, still talking, trying to get her money back. I'm like, just let the money go. I didn't really want to say that, but what else are you going to do, right? Trying to be strong. Okay, babe, I'll wait. Next morning, I wake up. I'm still doing the thing. She comes back in. She's like, you'll never guess what happened. I'm like, what's up? I just booked us here for the rest of our trip. Cool. I can relax now because my family's not going to be on the street, right? So I go out there. We're all sitting together on the couch. And like, okay, we're in L.A. What do you guys want to do? Well, I know my daughter needs to go shopping. She didn't really get a lot of shopping in. So cool, we'll do that. Bona looks at me with these beautiful eyes and says, what do you want to do? Now, between you, us, because we're close here, I have a list of the things I want to accomplish in my life before I die. I'm not making this up. People call it a bucket list, whatever you want to call it. I got one of those. And me and God have had, well, I've said a lot to God about it. He's never responded. So I'm sitting on the couch, and the biggest one for me is I want to go see LeBron James play basketball before he retires. I love basketball. Lakers are my favorite team. But realistically, I live in Delta, Alaska. That's never going to happen. So I look at Bona, what do you want to do? I'm like, well, I would love to go see LeBron James play basketball. Okay. Cool, I booked his tickets. What? You did what? No, yeah, I got some. Ain't the best seats, but we can afford these seats. So we're going to do that. Really? Okay. Well, what else do you want to do? I would love to go to a baseball game. I don't know if it's even possible. Okay. Cool. Yeah, we can afford these. Like I said, they ain't the best seats, but yeah, we're booked. Angels and Dodgers. What? So, really? We can. Okay. Okay. So. Ben's over there dancing. Yo. All right. Don't get too excited because I might fall through, right? Just chill. Time goes on. We take my daughter shopping. We go to some beaches out there in California, some whatever places. And it's popping off. It's fun, right? Kids are having fun. Wife's having fun. Everything's chill. Day of the game comes, and I'm just, this is happening. Oh, so excited. I'm a child, okay? We get there. And we get to the Staples Center. I'm like, oh my God, this is my Mecca. This is it. I see the letters. I'm sorry, I just goofed off. For me, that's huge. So we get there, take pictures, blah, blah, blah. They finally let us in. I walk in, and I see the floor. And our seats are in the Raptors. Me, I'm like, oh, second row? He won't care if I go in. Take pictures of the players, so I'm like, hey, guard, how you doing? I'm just going to go down the floor. Excuse me, sir. First, I pretend like I didn't hear him. Sir, huh? Me? Yeah. You can't go down there, but I just wanted to say hi to LeBron because you know, he's a basketball player. I'm a fan, so he knows me personally. Okay. So they came, he took our pictures, and we had to go to our seats. We get there, it was the most miraculous thing, materialistic rap, miraculous thing I've ever seen. Okay. I'm over the moon. And my dream was that I wanted to go to a basketball game, but I wanted to go with my family. I didn't want to go by myself, because some things are a better experience when you're with your family. And I sat down, game starts, the individual sits next to me, another guy, and he came by himself. I'm like, okay, real nice guy. I didn't realize how big he was till he stood up. Hey, you lift too, huh? Hey, can you get my jacket? I'm cold. Yeah, nah, you right. Yeah, LeBron, good. So we're watching the game. I look down, I see my daughter and my son, two daughters, just like, I'm like, this is my moment. This is my moment, right? Enjoy it. Best time ever. We leave there, and then I get sick. Like, I don't get sick. Like, I don't get sick. I just don't, okay? If I feel myself getting cold, I'm like, nope, not getting sick, and I don't get sick. I got sick. Like, headache, stuffy, couldn't breathe, my throat was aching. But trip goes on. I sleep it off a day. Son does homework. Me and Bona had went to an Art Matthias ministry counseling marriage thing about 2 years ago, something like that. And we met an individual there, and she was in California. She saw our pictures Bona posted and was like, you guys are in California. You come see me. I'm stupid sick. Like, I'm sick. So Bona was like, hey, do you mind if we go see so-and-so? I'm like, I don't want to. And then all of a sudden, I remember, I know one truth that God has taught me over the years. Anytime I'm going through something real hard, okay, he always brings an opportunity for me to give something to somebody else about him. I'm sick as a dog. Now, start to think. She's like, she needs some encouraging. I was like, okay, God, I hear you. This is my moment. All right, I got, cool, let's do it. We get up, we go outside, like an hour outside of L.A., we hit the mountains, and it's the most terrifying trip I've ever been on in my life. It's like this all the way to the top. We get to the top. We sit down. And she's having some issues that, let's just say, we're well-versed in, okay? She starts talking to my wife, and I'm just not saying anything. I'm just sitting there. She was having marital issues. You know, God's blessed me with the gift of going through marital issues, and it was one of the greatest things he ever did for me. You know, at the time I hated it, but now I see his hand in it, right? So we get there, she's having marital issues, she's talking to Bona about it, I'm just sitting there not saying nothing, and sitting there, and finally I hear the Holy Spirit kick up, he's like, you ain't gonna say nothing? He's like, okay, yeah, you went to a basketball game, great, that's not why you're really here, this is why you were here. If I wanted you in the Philippines, you'd be there, you're here for this, do this. Okay. And then all of a sudden, Bona, she doesn't know what's going on in my mind. She just gets up and walks away. I'm like, what? Kids are playing in a playroom over there with video games. Bona just walks away. So it's me and our friend across the table. She's just. So I was like, listen. I was like, you mind if I give you some advice? No, please, please. I'm like, well, you ain't gonna like anything I'm gonna say. I was like, you ain't gonna like nothing. We were in similar situations, so I'm like, this is what God taught me. You see how you're viewing the situation? Always casting blame on the other person. That's wrong. You need to deal with you. You want God to fix over here? You got to fix this. I was like, well, I feel this way. I feel hurt. Get over it. Because it doesn't help you. You're putting yourself in a situation to go down a dark path where there's no coming out of it. I've been there. I've seen it. I know what the room looks like. It's a waste of your time. You want God's help? This is what you need to do. Told her the very instructions God gave me. And she's like, well, you and your wife seem so happy. How are you so happy? I'm like, because God's right. He's right. His love is stronger than anything you can imagine. But you have to get out of his way and let him do his thing, right? And I was like, how do you feel about your significant other? Gives me a list of things that she didn't like. I'm like, oh, okay, stop. You said this has been happening for a certain amount of time, right? Obviously, you love this man because you're still with him. And I'm here, okay? I'm here.
God is here, so you need to make up in your mind what you're going to do, right? What has God been telling you? And then the truth came out.
Well, he did tell me to do this and that, but I just didn't feel right about it.
I'm looking across the table like, you didn't feel right about it? Do it! Just do it! Okay, you're right. Bona comes, sits back down. You're right, okay. And she opens up, and everything the guy was telling me that he told me to do, he told her to do too. She finally looks at me and goes, you know, you guys came up here just talking to me. I'm like, yeah, after I get done talking to you, we're leaving. We're going back down this stupid mountain, okay? You guys came all the way up here for me. Yeah, literally, that's why we, I don't like heights, people. The road was death. You, like, I don't know how people live on this mountain. If you, like, you're, seriously, I'm not making this up. If you walk on the sidewalk and your shoes untie and you're like, oh, whoops, and fall, you're dead. You're just dead. Like, their recess in school was rock climbing. That's what they do. I'm like, yeah, Jen, hey, we're gone. We're out of here. She's like, it's like Jesus came all the way up here just to talk to me. And that, oh, I know she wasn't talking about me. Because like I said earlier, people are going to see God in you. They ain't going to see you, right? And for somebody to look at me and not see Ben, not see pain or past hurts, but see love that only Jesus can bring, that was worth it. So we left, went back down the hill, and it was an amazing trip. We went to, like I said, we went to the Dodgers game. Once again, we walked in. It was beautiful. Like, God took what I thought was possible, took away what he knew wasn't the right experience, and gave me my dreams without telling me about it. Sometimes when God takes something from you because he has something better, he doesn't always tell you. Now, what we did as a family, after Bone and them got back from Grandma's house, before any of this happened, I forgot to tell you this part, I was really messed up. I got my family together. I'm like, listen. And this took every little bit of everything I had. We held hands. I'm like, listen, I know it didn't work out the way I wanted it to, the way none of us wanted it to. Let's thank God anyway. So we got together in a circle. We said, God, thank you for having us here. Thank you for what did go right. We just start thanking him for stuff, right? All of us. And the next thing you know, I'm at Staples Center. I'm watching the Dodgers play. We didn't even stay for the whole Dodger game. We're like, cool, baseball. This is the third inning. We looked at Benjamin. He's the baseball player in the family. He loves baseball. I'm looking at Benjamin. Hey, you ready to go? He's like, yeah, let's go. Cool, we're out. So we dipped. So we did that. We went to the beaches and everything, and God just really showed up. He really gave me something I didn't feel like I deserved. To this day, when I think about that vacation, I didn't feel like I did anything to deserve that, right? Like, I didn't do anything special, but he chose to do it for me, right? When you're going through hard times in your life, or somebody in this situation with somebody in your life that's giving you a hard time, praise God for it. I can promise you with every bit of strength I got. Anybody here that knows me and knows the challenges God's put in my way knows I'm not lying, right? I've stayed the course the best way I knew how. I stood strong when I didn't really want to, and God gave me what I didn't ask him for, right? He opened the book and wrote the words in there for me, right? And now I can read his handiwork and not my opinion. Oh, wow, God, you did that? He's like, yep, keep reading. Okay. And the okay part that I'm going to mention is when I thought everything was apart and I didn't know how to handle our vacation, she did. I couldn't figure out how we were going to afford to do this trip. He didn't come to me. He went to her. This is what you need to do. This is what I got planned for you, for Ben. I'm going to use you to do it. He didn't tell me. I was laying in bed and vacation fell apart like, oh, this is, what are we going to do? My family, I'm not doing anything to fix it. Just, oh, Jesus, what's happening? She was the one like, I got this. No, we good. Just to show you how much God put on her shoulders and worked through her. So we're at the Staples Center. I was a little overzealous and got there like 3 or 4 hours too early. So we're just sitting outside. You can only see statues of players for so long. And like, oh, look, there's the letters and you're bored. Like, okay, what do we do? So Bono gets on her little magic thing and is like, oh, there's some shopping down the road. What? Just follow me. I don't know where we're going. We're in Los Angeles, California. I've already seen
grown men five times my size, okay? I'm by myself. Like, there's no, I'm not taking on anybody. And most of them travel in packs. So, hey, y'all got your running shoes on? Because if we have to, you better keep up. So we start walking down. Here's the Staples Center. We're walking. First, I'm like, cool buildings. Oh, those are cool tall buildings. Where'd the buildings go? Where are we? Bona, where are we? Looking around. This is the Staples Center. It was like we crossed into, like, Mexico. Right? I'm just... Kids look at me like, yo, we're fine. Jesus, what's going on? Are we going to die? Lord, I don't speak any Spanish. So we get there, walk up to the hat stand, ladies. Everybody was so cool. It was the coolest experience I've ever had. Everybody was so nice. Like, they let you haggle. When I say they haggle, oh, they haggle, okay? I don't like that price. $50. $30. I ain't even say nothing yet. It's just a little too much. $20. How much money do you got left? Cool. I don't know. $10, take it. Okay, thank you, sir. I'll take it. $10. Cool. You know, and we went this alley. It had the shopping, like, far as I could see on both sides of the street. It was amazing. Anyway, enough about that. God bless my socks off. I didn't deserve it. So, the topic of my workshop is, be strengthened and revitalized. So, the revitalized part first. Revitalize is to imbue something with new life and vitality. Let me paraphrase that how I read that, okay? In my opinion, that saying that to revitalize somebody is to see somebody go through something that they shouldn't go through. They shouldn't have to experience that, but they do. And they handle it well. I'm not saying well as if they pretend like they're not affected by the situation. That's not what I'm saying. Well is to say, God, I am hurt. God, this doesn't make sense. This isn't fair. But your will. Do what you're going to do. I'm going to ride this out. Right? One thing that I really got out of scriptures, when Jesus was right before he got betrayed by Judas, right when he was went up to the Mount of Olives to pray the last time before they came and got him, he took the disciples with him. And he took them, he said, listen, pray so you do not fall into temptation. And he walked a stone away to pray. He knelt down on the rock, started praying. Remember what Jesus said. Lord, if there be any way, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. What did he do there? He told God how he felt. He told God, why? Is this really going to happen? He wasn't dishonest with God. He wasn't being religious. He wasn't trying to be strong. He was honest. But in his weakness, in his lack of understanding, okay, God's God, but you get the point. He still chose God's purpose. He still chose to give God his opinion, but accept God's will, right? That's what God's calling us to do. You want to be revitalized? Tell God the truth. First of all, he knows this ain't right. This should be better. I'm doing all I can. But if today I got to go without, amen. Because what you don't know, you might see yourself as one thing, but your neighbor sees you as something completely different. You're the only light they have. You're the hope they're looking for. And because you're making it with less, they can survive with nothing. You understand? All right. What else do you have for me to say, Lord? Okay. Strengthened. What does it mean to be strengthened? I thought strengthened meant, in a worldly, materialistic way, I'm weak, I go in the gym, and I lift weights, and I get stronger. Okay? That's what I thought strengthened was. I asked God. Okay, I'm going to tell you one more story, and then I'm done. I love the Lord with all my heart. Let's just get that out of the way, okay? And I never
not tell the truth, especially when I'm asked or presented with it. If you don't want to know, do not ask me, okay? Because I'm reliable. If I carry the word of God, I'm reliable to God for the word. I don't get to sugarcoat anything. I, the other day, was at the gym in my lunch period, and I was getting undressed to put my clothes back on, and an individual walked in the gym, in the locker room, okay? This individual is making a transition, let's just say that. Yeah. This individual I've known since this individual was little. And now they make a transition. I know who you are. Walk into the locker room, and I'm like, no, what are you doing in here? This is for men. My wife only sees me like this, right? They walk out. I'm a little not happy. Throw my clothes on. I walk out. I'm like, what do I do? Who do I talk to? What do I do? What's going on? Go over to the management. This is what happened. Tell me what's going on. Obviously, I don't know. They explain themselves. I don't like their explanation at all, of course. And long story short, if I want to be there, I have to accept what they're choosing. Okay. So I leave, and I start praying. That's all I know to do. First thing that God says is, he told me a while ago to love the sinner, not the sin. Right? That's first. Second, he said, this individual has never seen me for who I really am. They've never felt my love. So what you're going to do is you're going to go back and you're going to apologize for bringing an offense where there didn't need to be one. Because what they're not expecting is kindness. They're expecting a battle. Let's not give them what they want. So I went back, and I apologized. So much so, I got in the person, and they were trying to be all, I'm like, stop it, shake my hand, come on. So they finally, okay. I'm like, all right, we're good, get over it, all right? I didn't say the get over part, obviously. Third, got back in my truck, and I was driving, and God said this. I said, God, how do I live in a world? How do I live in a world like this? What do you want me to do? I look around me, all I see is, fallen, fallen, fallen. Where's the one standing? He's like, oh, look in the mirror. Did Daniel not live in a pagan world? Did he not stand alone for a long time by himself? They try to take his life. I preserved it. Me. That's strength. Strength isn't saying, oh, this is what I think. No. Strength is saying, I love you anyway. Hey, my bad. I missed it. I apologize. I love you. Because you know what they say when they see, when I say they don't see me, they see God, right? So that's strength. Before I go, I'm going to share something with you. I find a little fun. The Bible says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing. It's the honor of kings to search out a matter. In other words, it's a treasure hunt. I was reading Luke. I ran across Luke. Jesus says this in 23:43. I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Right? Now, I don't know about how the rest of you guys view that. But this is how I view it. You're taking what I see. Okay? Now, I'm sharing this with you. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. I always thought after Jesus was crucified and he died, he went to hell and got the keys. Does everybody else agree with that? Okay. Then why does he say this? Listen again. I assure you, today, you will be with me in paradise. He says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. So my question is this. When did Jesus actually get the keys from hell, from Satan? When did he get them? Now, on this, I don't want my own opinion. I want Scripture backing this up. So I'm still searching. But when you think about that, when did Satan, God, actually get the keys from Satan? When did he go to hell and get the keys? Because here says, today, when I'm in paradise, you'll be with me. Second question. So it's same verse, Luke 23, 44. It says, "It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole, came over the land until 3. What happened there? Darkness all of a sudden showed up from 12 to 3. What happened? Now, this is what I did. Check this out. Psalms 97, 2 through 5 says this. Okay, first. The Bible said, I believe, this is what I believe, that God showed up from 12 to 3. And this is the evidence I'm presenting to you. Psalms 97, 2 through 5 says this. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Okay? Who? Ah, very good. There's more to that, but that's not the point. Okay. I mean, I could read the rest to you, but I don't want you to get lost in the other things that God's awesome at. Okay, so clouds of thick darkness surround him. I'll just, whatever. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his foes on every side. Okay? His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. Mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord and the presence of the Lord of all the earth. Okay? Now, Psalms 99, 6 through 7 says this. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Moses and Aaron were amongst his priests. Samuel also was among those calling on his name. Okay? They called to the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in a pillar of cloud. Okay? Now, Job. Exodus 31, 36. Yeah. Now this scripture goes with this question and another question I haven't asked you yet. It's in Job 4, 12 through 17. I'm going to save that. I'm going to ask you this other question first because it's going to make way more sense if I do it this way. Okay, so first question is, when did Jesus actually get the keys of hell? Okay. The second question is, what happened from noon to 3? Who showed up? Did anybody show up? Why did it get dark all of a sudden? Okay. Jesus says, okay, so Luke 23, 45 through 46. Okay, so 12 to 3 gets dark. The curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." Saying this, he breathed his last. Who is he talking to? Let's just give that one away. Who is he talking to? Okay, so was he talking to God that was present, or is God in heaven? Because the Bible says he gave his spirit away and he was gone. Right? Just brain teasers. This is how he keeps me interested, okay? So, first question is, when did Jesus actually get the keys? Second question is, what happened from 12 to 3 and why did it get dark? Okay? The Bible shows that when God does show up, it's usually clouded in the cloud, thick clouds, or darkness, okay? Now, the next question is this. It is in Exodus 31. 31, 1 through 6. All right. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, remember this, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Smith. That's how so I remember now. All right. It's 31. Yeah, Mr. Glass, that's not 31. All right, here we go. Okay, here we go. All right, so in this, Exodus 31 through 6 reads this. So it says, God's provisions of the skilled worker. Okay, The Lord also spoke to Moses. Remember that. Look, I have appointed by name Baziel, son of Uri, son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with God's spirit, with wisdom, understanding, and ability in every craft to design artist works in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut gemstones for mounting and to carve wood for work in every craft. This is the question. The Lord also spoke to Moses, look, I have appointed appointed by name beside that guy and that guy and that guy. Okay. I have filled him with God's Spirit. Who's Moses talking to? You don't have to answer. Think about it. The Bible says in Psalms, David says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. Correct? Am I quoting scripture? Of course. This says, I have filled him with God's Spirit. Is Jesus, is God talking about himself in the third person? Does God ever talk about himself in the third person? So, who is Moses talking to? That's the next question. Who's he talking to? Okay. In Job 4, 12, 17 says this. This is not Job speaking. Okay, this is one of his friends. Mouthing off. All right. A word was brought to me in secret. My ears caught a whisper of it. Among unsettling thoughts from visions in the night, when deep sleep descends on men, fear and trembling came over me and made all my bones shake. A wind passed by me and I shuddered with fear. A figure stood there, but I could not recognize its appearance. A form loomed before my eyes. I heard a quiet voice. Can a person be more righteous than God, or a man more pure than his maker? Who's that description of? You don't have to answer. Think about it. Not done. That's now, the next scripture I'm going to read is Numbers 12, 6 through 8. Now, this is when Moses' brother and sister formed a coup. And they're going to take down their little brother. That was not smart. This is how it reads. Listen to what I say. Okay? If there is a prophet among you, if everybody's not familiar with the scripture, God got upset. Okay? He called Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to the tent of meeting. Bon, where are you going? He called Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to the tent. The presence of God fell in the tabernacle, and they all had to leave because the presence of God fell in the tabernacle. God stood at the door of the tabernacle, and he spoke. This is what happens, what he says. Listen to what I say. If there is a prophet among you from the Lord, I make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. I speak with him directly, open and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Right? So, in Exodus 31:6, who is Moses talking to? Just consider. You don't have to answer. Last thing. Okay, so in Job 4, 12 through 17, this man's describing an experience he had, okay? He was asleep. He calls it a vision, okay? There was a form that stood before him. He couldn't make it out, right? God says Moses sees his form. What happened on the Mount of Configuration? Who showed up to talk to Jesus? There's two men. Who? Moses and Elisha. And who are they talking to? Jesus. What did God say that who sees his form? And the disciples asked Jesus, how do we know what God looks like? What does he look like? What did Jesus answer to them? That's correct. You're right. You're right. Say it louder. You've seen the Father. Moses sees the form of God. But God says, Jesus says, let me just read it. Okay. Last one, did I write it down? Yes, okay. Last thing, and then we're done. John 1:18. This is Jesus talking. No one has ever seen God. So he says. But God says, Moses sees my form. The one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side, he has revealed him. Like you just said. What's your name? Sarah. Like you just said, right? So my question is, who was Moses talking to in Exodus? Right? Who showed up from 12 to 3 when Jesus was on the cross? Okay? I think what we need to realize, people, is God's a lot closer than you think. Okay? Jesus has been hands-on for a long time. So when you get in those moments, nobody's looking. Maybe the light bulb in your room just went off. All of a sudden, it's dark in there. You don't know why. Who shows up in darkness? Who has to cloak himself when he's coming to see about us? He's too great to be seen otherwise, correct? All right. So, those are just little nuggets that he's shown me, and there's so many more, and I was like begging the Holy Spirit, like, hey, you've given me usually I don't have anything. I usually have a piece of paper, some dots on it, and that's like three words when I come up here. This time, it's, I'm like, I can't do all this. I don't know how to translate all this. He's like, yeah, because you won't be okay. So, strength is humbleness. Strength is humbleness. You're not going to know how to humble yourself. So don't even try. Don't be like, okay, I'm going to humble myself today. Hey, the blacky, I'm saying a random name because I don't want to say somebody else. I'm going to use Jason. He's back there. Humbleness is not like, okay, whatever Jason says today, whether he's right or wrong, I'm just going to agree with him because I'm going to be humble. No. Humbleness is saying, God, listen, I feel strongly about this. I'm offended by this. But your will be done and not mine. But, you give me the strength to stand and I'll stand. That's being humble. Okay? To be revitalized is to make it through a tough situation. And the unexpected is going to happen. I hear people talk about wanting to see miracles all the time. I want to see a miracle. Well, you know what? You ain't going to see nothing, but God will show you everything. You're not going to see anything, but God can show you everything. And just like this young middle-aged man now that was expectant, but wanted to see all these things, but couldn't afford it, didn't know how to get there, and never thought it was going to actually happen. God said, I'm taking this from you so I can give you this, right? And I think that's the message you've really given out to us. I know it's hard, but remember, this is an example of what happens after you stand. God gives you everything. He doesn't give you what you want. He gives you what you never thought you had the right to ask for and more, all right? I'm done.